I thought everybody in the world had good mothers and fathers until after I was completely grown and out of high school and gone. Then I realized that there was some poor young boys that didn't have a father. And of course, since I left home way back yonder, now I've realized that there is a real problem in the world today. And the problem is we've got away from God. And so when we get away from God, then men, you know, they're not fathers anymore. You can't know how to be a father outside of the Word of God. And so we're going to talk about the love of God and how wonderful a father we all have in heaven and how he deals with us. And I'm going to start today in Psalms 139. I want you to see this from the perspective of you being the child and God being the father. O Lord, you have examined my heart and you know everything about me. You know, now that we have to realize that God knows everything about us. There's not anything he does not know about you. He says, you know, when I sit down or stand up, you know my very thoughts when far away. I mean, stop and think about a father that knows these kind of things about you. Now, your earthly father, he couldn't keep up with you that well. He doesn't know a lot of things, but, you know, I used to think there was something, especially about my mother. I don't know how she knew so much, but a lot of times she would tell me things that I had been doing, and I think, how in the world did Mom know that? Well, I really think maybe that Jesus was telling her. Because Jesus, the Lord, he knows everything about us, and he knows everything we do. He knows when we sit down, when we stand up, he knows my very thoughts. And so this is quite a father that we have here that can do these things. Verse 3 and 4, it says in verse 3 and 4, you chart the path ahead of me and tell me where to stop and rest. Every moment you know where I am. You know what I am going to say even before I say it, Lord. Now that's quite a father, isn't it? He knows what you're going to say. Now, you know, there's times you can, after you know your children so well as a father, when your son comes in, there's times that you can just perceive what he's going to do before he does it. You know, so you learn those things to a degree. God puts a little bit of that in you and me, but we're not able to do it like he can. He knows what I'm going to say even before I say it because he is the Lord. Verse 5 and 6. You both precede and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. I think about how many times when I think about the number of children that I have placed my hand on their head and prayed a blessing over them, I didn't realize what I was really doing. I was a deacon at Lakeland Baptist Church, and I used to walk down the aisle, big church, you know, there's several hundred people, you know, a couple of thousand, you know, by the time I left there, about 2,500. But it started out a little tiny church like ours. And over the years I was there, almost 20 years, I saw it grow from 50 people to 2,500 people. But as I was a deacon, I'd walk down the aisle, and some of the people, as I'd walk by, and lay my hand on the head and just pray a blessing over the children. Lord, bless this child with good health, knowledge, wisdom, revelation, understanding. Who knows what I would say? But I would speak a blessing because I learned that Jesus, the first thing he did after God made man and woman is he blessed them. And then the last thing the Lord did after his disciples was here on earth, just before he went back to heaven, was spoke a blessing over us. So I thought this must be extremely important for us to bless our children, especially for the fathers or the men. In other words, a manly picture of authority needs to pray over the boys, especially. And so I used to do that. I never asked anybody if I could do that. I never had nobody tell me I couldn't. And so I would just, you know, mother or father or whatever, maybe one of them would be there, both of them. And as I'd walk down the aisle, I'd just lay my hand over the head of the child and I would speak that blessing. And I didn't realize what the impact it was having until many, many years later. I guess it must have been 10 or 12 years later. I was walking down that hallway one day, and I reached over and that aisleway, and I reached over and laid my hand on this little boy, and I prayed a prayer, a blessing upon the little boy. and about two or three seats back, when I turned him loose to walk back, there was a mother standing there, and she said, "You did that to my son about 10 years ago. Do you remember it?" I said, "No, ma'am, I don't remember it." She said, "You just walked up to him, put your hand on him, blessed him." And she said, "Do you know my son still talks about that today? Every once in a while, he'll say, 'Mom, you remember that day that Mr. Scrivener laid his hands on me and spoke a blessing over me and asked God to bless me?'" And he said, "He has never forgot that. It was a highlight of his life. I didn't even remember it." Now, isn't God awesome? You know, now, there's something that God does on a regular basis. He blessed us when he made us. And then before he went back to heaven, he blessed us. So since he did that, I think it would be a very good idea if every father, every grandfather would speak a blessing over their children on a regular basis. At least if you're not around your grandchildren a lot, you might not be able to get to them, but once over a month or every 2 months or whatever. But if you can't get to them, then call them on the phone and speak a blessing over them. If they're around where you can get to them, then pray a blessing over. I pray a blessing over mine regularly. I mean, every time they're over, I'm just liable to lay my hands on them and say, "Bless them, Father, in the name of Jesus," and mention two or three little things. But we need to learn to speak a blessing. It says, "You both preceded and followed me. You placed your hand of blessing on my head." Now, if that's good enough for God, it ought to be good enough for us. Right, Scott? We need to speak a blessing over our children. "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to know." Now, there's such wonderful knowledge and wisdom out there. If we as fathers will ask God for that, and then we can portray that on to our children. Yesha told me something this morning. She came in to welcome or to say Happy Father's Day to me. And when she was in my office, she was telling me some information. I may not have gotten it exactly right, but she says, in a home where a mother and a father both serve God and go to church and everything, when the child leaves home, I think she said 74% of the children continue to serve God, if mother and father both. Now, if father was the only one that took them to church, 60% of those children continue to serve God. But if daddy wasn't there and mother took them to church, only 15% of them continued to serve God. That says something about the daddy missing, doesn't it? Now, I don't know where, you know, that information came from. She was just giving me that knowledge, and I thought to myself, wow, how many homes where there's only a mother? The daddy has gone away. He don't care about him. If he don't care about him and he's gone, then the children are not loved, and they don't ever see that fatherly figure, and so who's God? Oh, it's just somebody you read about in a book. He's not real. What a sad story. And that's where we are today in the world, especially in America. You know, we have so many problems in the church. And I've heard lots of times. In fact, I heard the other day, I'm not exactly remember where I heard this, but it says, today, if we have a mediocre church family, you know, they go to church once in a while. You know, they profess to be Christians. They take their children with them when they do go. But, you know, the father or the mother, neither one is really dedicated to serve God. They just may go to church on Sunday, and then after Sunday, it's all over. You don't pray over your food. You don't pray over your children. You don't read the Word of God at home. Just mediocre church people. It says, if you raise your children under those kind of conditions until they're grown, and then at 18 or 19, they go to college, and then they spend 4 years in our liberal colleges, we lose 90% of those church kids in 4 years in college. 90% of them are lost, and they get away from God, and they stop going to church totally, completely. That really says something about the fathers. The fathers have missed it. We have not obeyed God, that's for sure. Wow, what a shame. Verse 7 and 8. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. Well, I got news for you. I don't want to get away from him, do you? I want to be close to him. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the place of the dead or to hell, you are there. So God's everywhere, isn't he? If you go into the stars, he's out there. It doesn't make any difference. Where you go, you cannot get away from God. He's everywhere. He really does love you, whether you believe it or not. He really does love you. Verse 9 and 10. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I mean, he's everywhere you are. You know, it doesn't matter where you are, how high you are. I mean, when you're flying in an airplane, you know, if you're on a rocket ship, if you go out to the, if you were to ride one of those space machines that goes out there and you go out way at into outer space. Some of those machines that we've shot out toward Mars and all that stuff that have been traveling for years. You know, we've got machines that we've fired out to Mars 10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, that's still taking pictures and sending data back. Is God out there with that thing? Yeah, he's right there with it. You can't get away from him. Even there, your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. So it makes no difference where we go, he's going to be with us. Verse 11 and 12. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as the day. Darkness and light are both alike to you. You know, I remember when I think about this, every time I think about this kind of scripture, I remember when I was in Cairo, Egypt, building a building in 1977. I didn't know anything about the Muslim religion. I just didn't know nothing. I was completely illiterate when I come to those kind of things. But I did know a little bit about Jesus. But I know that those people over there, every Friday, of course, every day, you talk about dedicated people, every day they wanted to come in and throw their little mat out and get down and face Mecca and pray at least three times a day, sometimes five times a day. And I thought, wow, if we've done that as Christians, I wonder what our God would do for us. Now, I will have to say their God didn't do nothing for them. They also fasted on a Friday, I believe it was.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Awesome Father, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.